You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Debbie Hilliard. She's the Director of Education at Hauser & Wirth, and she's talking to me from Somerset. Debbie, thanks so much for being with me today.
Hello, Brainerd. Lovely to talk to you again.
Now, Hauser & Wirth, of course, has different locations throughout the world. You're in Somerset, though. Can you tell me a little bit about the location of the gallery, which is not in a big city?
No. Interestingly, we opened the gallery in 2014 in a town called Bruton, which is south of Bristol, very central Somerset, and it's a very rural location. The town is very small. It has, I don't know, between 2,000 and 3,000 inhabitants, that's all. Obviously, it's, you know, divorced from a gallery community. It's divorced from a cultural community in all senses of the word, considering we're actually a rural farm.
And why was that location chosen? Do you know? We're going to, of course, talk about education in this talk, as you're the Director of Education, and I'm fascinated by and very interested in education in the arts. But why that location? It seems like a wonderful place for a gallery. At the same time, most galleries, especially major ones like Hauser & Wirth, are all in major cities around the globe.
Project dates back to much earlier on, in about 2009, when our owners, Ivan Wirth and Manuela Wirth, were spending more and more time in the UK with their successful gallery, Hauser & Wirth, and they were looking to find a location for themselves to settle down in that felt more rural, more akin to the landscape where they had both grown up, which is in rural Switzerland, and they have four children. At the time, four children still in school, and they decided to put their children in school in the UK. And their search for the sort of ideal home took them to Somerset, and they ended up buying a family home in Somerset, not far from the gallery. And the gallery location was really a discovery that they made whilst they were living here. So the Derslade Farm and Derslade Farmhouse, and the farm buildings, which we've converted into the gallery, the restaurant, and the education space that we're going to talk about as well, and how we use that, were all repurposed from existing farm buildings that dated back to the 18th century. And they still have their sort of 18th century appearance, but certainly what goes on inside the buildings is far less to do with farming. But having said that, not completely divorced from their historical roots. So it's known as a model farm. It was always seen as a place where the community would learn and share. We have a traditional threshing barn, which used to be a tithe barn, so the community would gather every week in our barn to pay their tithes to the landowner. So it's always been somewhere that was the hub of the community or the central point where people gathered. And so in some ways now it operates as a community art centre that still does those things. But it also has this global arm that reaches out through Hauser & Wirth, a commercial organisation, to a much more international community at the same time. Does that give you a picture?
Yeah, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. I love that idea. So, of course, we did an interview last year, and we talked a lot about what you do as Director of Education, and we were talking about some of the programs there that bring in children and other groups. And in this conversation, I wanted to focus a little bit about adult education, because, of course, there's many demographics that we're reaching out to, but I think it's so interesting and important that Hauser & Wirth, among galleries, we see this in museums, of course, but we don't see that very often in galleries, this kind of, which is, of course, enormously important to the gallery and the public, the idea of educating the public about the arts. So to begin our conversation about adults, is that a demographic you separate? Last time we talked about children's programs, and of course they come with teachers and adults, but adults themselves from different areas, is that considered a different demographic that you reach?
Yes, okay. So in terms of that, for our audience's benefit, well, as soon as we conceived of the idea of having an art centre in this rural location, we had to think about the many ways in which we could ensure that people would visit us and would make return visits and would use the gallery in as many ways as possible, and that we would appeal to the widest possible audience as opposed to just those who may visit a commercial art gallery in a city centre like New York or London or Hong Kong. So the education and events programme that we conceived looked at who those people might be, and as you say, we've developed this amazing schools program and young people's program, which is hugely successful and well used now. I was looking at last year's figures. We had thousands of school visits, school pupils on site last year, nearly 100 school visits. When you think about the school year and how many weeks they're in school, it was quite an achievement of which we're really proud. But of course, those children are brought here by somebody else. They don't make a decision to come. Somebody else brings them. And a school program where somebody else is facilitating and enriching the curriculum is also something that we found quite easy to work with. However, when we describe adults and we think about adult education, what are they? You know, are these people who subscribe to a formal education system? So they may be postgraduate students or researchers. Are they members of other existing groups? So they might belong to an organisation like the Architectural Association, the WI, the Women's Institute, or a local garden organisation. Or are they people who don't belong to anything in particular and come as individuals, or just a group of friends or family who are looking for an extended experience beyond the independent visit that they make? So it's a really broad range of people come under the banner of adult, and at what point are you an adult as well, and that's always debatable, but I'm assuming here we mean beyond compulsory education, so somebody who's old enough to make their own decision to come and to come on their own if they wanted to. So these are all the people we think about. These adults therefore also can come from within walking distance of the gallery, or they could be making a journey overseas to get to the gallery. And so the education and events program takes all those things into account, all those different people, and all those different people also have different levels of knowledge, of understanding, and of experience of the art world. So we need to think about the different discourse that they will be attracted to or operate within as well.
And then what is it? That's a good point. So what is that exact discourse that they would be attracted to? Because, of course, that's quite different than the younger groups and adults. I would imagine there's maybe you're preaching to the converted. I'm not sure, but I would imagine adults can be more challenging in terms of
really tricky. What, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, Whilst we do it perhaps in the school sector, in compulsory education, we make distinctions about children in terms of their demographic, where they come from, are they from a home with other siblings, do they have a particular, do they live within a postcode, what type of school do they go to? All those things helps us make judgments about those young people and what to expect of them. Once you're out of compulsory education, to make judgments on adults using that criteria may not be the ideal thing to do, nor the most comfortable thing to do. And yet, adults have the same range of complexities. Have these adults followed further or higher education, for example? And we know that, you know, if you studied fine art, for example, then you're going to have a much more open, generous, and sophisticated engagement with talking about art than somebody who hasn't gone to university, for example. Or you might be somebody who hasn't gone to university but has studied their life within reading about and studying art and visiting galleries and have developed it independently. So why, you know, we can't use the same barometers to judge adults in so easily at all. It's just not that straightforward.
Right.
And I think, you know, I think we talked a little bit before about art being such a tricky subject, that it carries with it this baggage of history about it being something that might be deemed to be the exclusive pleasure of the upper class, something that divides social groupings,
right.
That is something that some people find easy to be cynical about if they don't understand it, something that is considered to be exclusive or elitist. And often those things are, you know, are criticisms thrown at the art world by those people who aren't part of it. But equally, perhaps, it works the other way as well. So, it's such a big thing. Maybe we could talk a little bit about how we do it to try.
Yeah, let's talk about the programs of working with adults. And it could be just bringing a group through, but also the difference between handling adult questions as opposed to children, especially if they're challenging ones.
Absolutely. So I think it's important to say that Housingworth Somerset and all our other galleries are open to all people at least 5 days a week. The gallery here is open 6 days a week and anybody can visit during its opening hours. You don't need to book, you can just turn up, and that's the case for our other locations globally as well. So Housingworth does not make judgments about who can and can not come into the galleries. And then in terms of how we program events that adults may wish to partake in, we have a whole range of activities here. And just like the events that we organise for younger learners and for children, we have different categories or different types. So you may, you know, if you are somebody who's part of a special interest group, I mentioned like a WI group, you may be really interested in coming to see a particular exhibition or coming to visit our garden, and you can book as a group and have a guided tour led by an expert from the gallery who will give you that personal insight and share their knowledge and experience with your group and be able to give you a personal relationship, answer your questions and guide you through that experience. Another thing we do which is similar is each of the directors here, we run a guided tour to the current exhibition. So four times for each exhibition on a Friday at 5 o'clock, myself or one of my colleagues will lead a tour of the current exhibition, and any member of the public can sign up for free and come along to that tour. And you have that opportunity to be alone in the gallery with the guide. We limit the numbers so you get a personal experience, again, creating or fostering, if you like, an intimate relationship with that audience. They feel comfortable to ask questions, and they understand the staff here as being very knowledgeable. Obviously, we build up great relationships with our artists, and the best people to talk about our artists, but also the best people to talk about the particular exhibition in that particular space. So I think another important thing about just those two examples that I've given so far is about integrity the quality of knowledge that's being shared. It's very particular and specialised, and also unique. It's unique to here. You know, you could have a tour of Louise Bourgeois exhibition anywhere in the world. There's always a Louise Bourgeois exhibition somewhere. But you know, if you had came on one of the tours with the staff here, you would forge that relationship with that person who's telling you about that exhibition at that particular time. And I'd like to
And when people are talking about that, I mean, go on. I don't want to interrupt you, but what happens during some of those presentations are, in terms of, you're saying, right, of course, it's so specific how you're talking about it there as a gallery and as an education director. What are some of the questions that either the audience asks, or what are the goals of that? I mean, are people getting an art history education, or are they understanding something more basic about why the arts are valuable to begin with, why a Cy Twombly painting is important or even valuable?
I think what's interesting, so we're speaking generally about those groups that come, and having done these sort of events now for nearly 5 years, I think what's really interesting about our audience is that those bigger questions come later. I think they love the sort of more emotional connection, the more personal connection that they can make to the artist through the tour that they're having, to give them the confidence then to ask the more significant questions like what is the significance of this artist to contemporary British sculpture or to printmaking or to drawing, or why is this still artist still make lithographs? At the beginning, what they want to do is develop an understanding of the artist as a person. They, you know, that's the most important thing for people, to demystify a little bit and understand that artists are real people, and they have thoughts and ideas and interests and difficulties and challenges in their work that people can relate to. And that then is something that can fuel all sorts of other events that we do. So a successful event is something that we run called Open Source Salon. So Open Source Salon invites all sorts of people. So it's not just our artists, but people that might relate to our landscape, to our garden, to the architecture of the building, to the location of Bruton, to come and talk about who they are and what they do. And our Open Source Salon has featured all sorts of speakers, from Ivan and Manuela themselves talking about how they started their collection, to local farmers, writers, authors, to so many people.
So a broad reach in the art, because we're not just talking about visual artists.
But the idea of breadth, but the thing that is maintained is this idea of the emotional connection, the connection between the audience and the speaker. You know, if you think about other events that you might go to at large municipal galleries, or watching a TED talk, or using YouTube, or going to a conference, you're often one of thousands of people, not least hundreds. So the idea of our events often being to smaller numbers offers a much more personal experience that I know from feedback people really value. Feedback for the Open Source Salon is always, thank you for bringing these amazing people to our attention. What are you doing next? We want more. So we know that people enjoy these opportunities and experience. Somebody else is facilitating for them. You know, we work with the photojournalist Don McCullen, and he's a really interesting example who reaches out beyond a commercial art audience. Obviously, he doesn't come from that world, and, you know, people really appreciate the possibility of just physically being able to see somebody whose photographs they've admired for, you know, 40 years.
So right.
That's also about breaking down boundaries, isn't it? I think the art gallery and the museum presents the artwork, but often we don't have the opportunity to release the artist or to a connection to the artist. And opportunities through our programs allow us to get somewhere a little bit closer to the artists themselves. And I know that that's hugely attractive to our audience.
That is, and I want to ask you a few more things before we go. If we can step back from all of this, there's this, you know, wonderful things that you're doing that you already articulated in terms of the education program. If we look at what's happening in the global art world now, there's education programs largely in museums, and artists are also creating a lot of projects. Is there a need now more than ever? I mean, I'm talking about perhaps a political or a social issue in terms of the arts. I mean, I've always thought that education in just the form you're talking about is enormously important. But in this day and age, in 2019, is there a particular burning issue that you think needs to be talked about more, or part of conversation in terms of education?
Mm-hmm. I mean, yes. Yes, there is. And, you know, I've only worked for the gallery for 5 years. Before then, I worked at universities. So my whole working career has been about teaching adults and working in adult education. And in my background, I did that formally through university talk programs. And what I learned the whole time was about commitment, that adults who want to learn have to make a big commitment. Once you're post 18, you have a lot more baggage to carry, and your commitments, it's harder to make commitments. People really want to learn and really enjoy learning. Learning is the most rewarding experience, to be able to find, know something and then impart that knowledge onto something, onto somebody else. It gives so many people a lot of pleasure. The trouble is that formal education is now, especially in the UK and in America, very costly, becoming more exclusive. And then at the same time is also often not the same quality, people believe, as it used to be. So there's both. There's arguments being thrown at formal education all the time.
That's a very interesting discussion. So what's that's such a powerful. I mean, I have a son that's about to go to college in 6 months. So I'm immersed in this, and partly what parents like myself are thinking is, yeah, how do you get a good education? But in terms of the arts, do you feel that's one of the burning issues? Is that what you're saying? This kind of, which is a much broader kind of look than I was even thinking, but the idea of education itself being valuable and how do we access it is part of the 2019 question.
For me, it is. For me, it's a huge question. I think you are the one who said politically, and I think politically we can't divorce it from the fact that institutions themselves are under pressure. The government has forced higher tuition fees. But at the same time, we see in the art world, we see more academics gaining PhDs in a variety of subjects. So at the same time, we can consider there's a dilution of expertise as well, which I know sounds quite controversial, but MA course, postgraduate courses are more popular than ever. People are staying in education longer, despite it costing more, and there's more places for you to do it. The idea of specialism and elitism, whilst I think that can be a good thing, if it is a good thing, we also need to protect it. And like you, many people of a certain generation are really worried about the educational future of their children because of the lack of clarity and the confusion about how good it is and where you should go and what you get. And also the dissatisfaction of some of those things have led to alternative art schools, to organisations providing their own education, and for artists to set up initiatives and campaigns for art schools without boundaries. So there's a whole plethora of options out there now for us to choose from, and it's very hard to know where do we look and how do we make decisions about where to go. I'm mindful of all this, and I cannot pretend to have the answers. I have personal positions on how I feel about it, but on a day-to-day level, all I can ever do is feel that what I do while I'm working for House and Worth, as I did when I was an academic teacher, was to feel that I'm giving the best quality that I can, and that I'm trying to share an honest and legitimate knowledge with people who want to share it with me. And that kind of drives all of the events that we do here. I think always asking who's going to speak, why should we invite that person, why should we do that event, all the time is having a level of quality, isn't it? And I think all we want for education is good quality education. And
absolutely, and that's why it's fascinating to me to talk to you about House and Worth in the context of all that, because as a private institution, you're doing so much for this larger conversation about art that we're discussing here at the end as well.
Absolutely, and I think, actually to go back to what I said at the beginning, our owners are parents of four children, and once you become a parent of a child, your relationship to what does education mean changes, doesn't it? Because you're not just thinking about what you had, you're thinking about what somebody else is going to get. And the model of what you got has changed by the time they get it, so it does become very topical and on the agenda of many, and, we're working with, I work with artists all the time. We're currently working with the artist Matthew Day Jackson for his exhibition that opens at the end of next week. And these are conversations that I'm having constantly with him in relation to what does he say to students when he teaches students, and how does that relate to what he got when he was there? So, you know, it's those people who really are thinking about those things that are making good contributions to the learning community out there at the moment. But it's a minefield at the moment, and it's not an easy environment for many who find themselves working. And, you know, it's full of amazing educators. Actually, they're very generous people.
I'm sure, yeah. Well, that's why it's wonderful to talk to you. It's wonderful to talk to you a second time. And I thank you for the work you're doing. And before we go, I want to ask you what I always ask. I'm always curious what people are reading. What are you reading at the moment?
Well, I've just finished Deborah Levy's book called Hot Milk. I'm not sure if you've heard of that. But my time with Matthew Day Jackson has really inspired me to get back into reading some sci-fi. So the book on my desk, which I haven't read since I was at school, is The Time Machine.
Debbie, I want to thank you so much for talking with me today. It's a pleasure hearing about your activities as Director of Education at Hauser & Wirth, and I just want to thank you so much.
It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much, too.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.